Gunsmoke, brought to you by Chesterfield. To put a smile in your smoking, always buy Chesterfield. Made the modern way with Accuray. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad, a transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America, and the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Me.
You were concentrating mighty hard on something in that window.
Mr. Jonas has some new lady shoes on display. You see them?
Oh, yeah.
Those narrow, square-toed ones, Matt. Which pair do you like best, the lace or the buttons? Well, tell me.
Well, I don't know, Kitty. They're both fine.
Well, you got to decide one or the other.
Oh, Matt. No, I don't have to decide either. I'm not in the market for ladies' shoes.
Well, neither am I.
What?
Look at those prices. $2.65 for a pair of shoes? Did you ever hear such a thing?
Kitty, I only stopped to say hello, not to argue about ladies' shoes.
Well, I still think somebody ought to complain to Mr. Jonas.
Well, it's not my job. I got enough trouble as it is.
Well, I'm going in and tell Mr. Jonas what I think of his prices.
Have a good time, Kitty.
You bet I will.
Mr. Dillon?
Hello, Chester.
Mr. Dillon, this here is Mr. Trumbull.
Huh?
He come over to the office looking for you.
How do you do?
Marshal Dillon.
You're a stranger here, Mr. Trumbull?
First time in Dodge, Marshal. First time.
Oh, well, what do you want to see me about?
I want a badge, Marshal. I want you to make me a deputy.
A deputy? Now, you look here, Mr. Dillon.
Never mind, Chester. What do you want to be a deputy for, Mr. Trumbull?
Well, I'm leading a party of immigrants up onto the South Fork of the Pawnee.
Oh? I thought you were new to this part of the country.
Well, I've got maps, Marshal. Good maps. Furnished me by the Santa Fe Railroad.
You work for the railroad?
No, sir. I work for these immigrants. It's like this, Marshal. I got some 10 families together, and I arranged to buy 5 sections of railroad land for them, about 30 miles northeast of here. I made all the legal arrangements, and I'm guiding them in.
I see. What's that got to do with your wanting to be deputized, though?
Well, I thought it might be a good idea, just in case there's any squabbling when we get there. You know, over who gets which land, that sort of thing.
Uh-huh. Most parties draw straws before they ever see the land, Mr. Trumbull. Haven't yours?
Well, yes. Sure, of course.
Well, then why should there be any trouble?
Well, one of the men's having a little wife trouble, Marshal. You know how it is.
Well, maybe I better ride out with you.
No, that won't be necessary. Everything probably work out fine.
Yeah, sure. Where are these pilgrims of yours?
Well, we're in camp down by the Arkansas. We're pulling out in the morning. Well, I thank you anyway, Marshal. Goodbye, Chester.
Goodbye. Well, that man sure has got a lot of gall.
Yeah, he's some confused, Chester.
How do you mean?
He can't seem to decide if there's going to be any trouble or not. Yeah, maybe we can find out for him. Come on.
Friends, this year, this easy way. Give Chesterfield this year so bright and gay. Wrapped and ready, they're the best to buy. Cotton
mountains of Chesterfield. They satisfy.
This Christmas, give everyone Chesterfields. Chesterfields are easy to give because they come ready to give in a bright red special holiday carton that's wrapped in its own colorful Christmas ribbon. Everyone enjoys Chesterfield's smoother, cooler smoking pleasure. So to all your friends this year, say, Merry Christmas with cartons of Chesterfields. No wrapping, no tying. They're easy to give because they come ready to give. Chesterfields in the bright red special holiday carton.
Wrapped and ready, they're the best to buy. Cartons of Chesterfields, they satisfy.
Chester and I saddled up and rode down to the Arkansas. It was easy to find the immigrant camp. A dozen wagons were scattered through the cottonwoods, and there were campfires everywhere. But the people themselves were all gathered together in a big circle. We rode up to them, but nobody paid any attention to us. Then I saw why. In the middle of the circle stood two men and a woman. The men were bare to the waist, and each was pressing his left forearm against the other's, while the woman was binding their arms tightly together with a stout piece of cloth. In their right hands, the men held bowie knives.
What in the world are they up to, Mr. Dillon?
Now, that's a way of fighting, Chester. Tied together like that, one of them has to die, maybe both of them. Hey, you stay here with the horses.
Aye, sir.
Well, yes, stand aside, please. Let me show you. Huh?
Make that knot tight, Sidney.
Do you have to go through with this?
No man messes around with my wife.
He didn't mean nothing by it. We was talking, that's all.
Now get out of the way, Sidney. You ready, Keppert?
You're a fool, Calhoun. But I'm ready.
All right, hold it, you men.
Stay out of this, mister.
I'm a lawman, Calhoun. I don't like this kind of fighting. Now, drop those knives. Both of you. I mean it.
Here's mine, Marshal.
Now, right now, yours, Calhoun.
Man, can't fight an unarmed man.
All right, you, Sidney. Take one of those knives and cut them loose.
All right.
Next time, I'll shoot you on sight, Keppert.
I told you you're a fool, Calhoun.
For keeping you away from my wife? Why don't you find one of your own?
Wait a minute, Calhoun. I don't want any shooting. I'm warning you. 30 miles isn't far from Dodge, and I'll come take you both back to jail if I hear any more about this. Now, you get back to your own wagons. All of you get back to your wagons. The party's over. Chester. Chester! And now where did he go to? Chester!
Chester, I'm coming, Mr. Dillon.
Now, where have you been?
Nowheres.
Nowheres, huh?
Well, I was only talking to a fellow over there.
Huh? Now, that's Trumbull.
Yes, sir.
Now, what were you talking to him about?
Nothing. I was just finishing a little talk we started the other day. It wasn't nothing important.
Uh-huh. Now, you hiding something, Chester?
Why, what would I be hiding?
I don't know. But I guess you'll tell me when you want to.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's get back to Dodge. Chester.
Yes, sir.
If you have to pace the room like that, will you take your boots off?
I'll sit down.
You know, 2 days of this is about all I can stand.
Yes, sir.
Oh, hello, Matt. Chester.
Hello, Doc.
Doc, I think I got a patient for you.
Oh, well, now, you don't look sick to me.
No, but I'm going to be if you don't find some way to calm Chester down. He hasn't been able to sit still for 2 days.
Yes, well, now, what's the trouble, Chester?
Nothing, Doc. I feel fine.
Well, then why can't you sit still?
It's sick people who have to sit still, not well ones.
Well, that depends on what you're sick with.
I ain't sick with nothing, I tell you.
You know, Doc, I think he's got a wormy brain.
Forevermore. All right. I'm trying to settle my mind up about something. Now, are you satisfied?
Are you?
No. I ain't got the money. And I don't know where to get it.
Well, money for what?
For to pay Trumbull with.
Now, do you owe Trumbull money, Chester?
No, sir. Not yet.
Not yet.
Oh, all right, I'll tell you. But you both got to promise not to tell nobody else about it. Trumbull says if anybody heard, I'd probably get beat out.
But you get beat out of what, Chester?
Land. Free
if
land.
If it's free, what do you need money for?
For Trumbull, to fix it up for me. Look, if I give him $50 for his trouble, he's got a way to arrange for the railroad to give me a half section of land. He showed it to me on his map the other day.
I showed what to you?
Where my half section would be. Gracious. I'll show you the thing.
Yeah, that's good.
Now, the south fork of the Pawnee runs like this on here.
That's right, yes, sir.
And these immigrants is about five sections laying right next to each other. Right about
Wait
here.
A minute, Chester. Did you say right next to each other?
Yes, sir, that's what Trumbull said. Now, my half section lays on the end here.
Chester, come on.
Come on. Ain't you interested in this?
Yeah, interested enough to ride out there. No worry about your $50. You're not going to need it. It was just after sunset when we hit the south fork of the Pawnee, and a half hour later, we spotted the first immigrant wagon. A man was working nearby trying to shape the foundation for a cabin from some red cedar he'd snaked up from the river. We got down and walked over to him. It was Keppard. The man Calhoun was about to fight for chasing his wife.
Hello, Marshal.
Hello, Keppard. This is Chester Proudfoot.
Glad to know you. Well, what are you doing out here, Marshal? There ain't been no trouble.
Yeah, Keppard, I'm afraid there has been.
What do you mean?
Hey, look yonder. That fella coming toward you is in a hurry, ain't he?
It's Calhoun.
He's got a rifle.
I better get mine.
No, you stand where you are, Keppard.
He might shoot me. You saw what he was like.
He'll have to shoot me first.
Keppard!
Well, now what's the trouble, Calhoun?
I'm looking for my wife, Sidney.
If she was here, you'd see her, wouldn't you?
Maybe she's down by the river.
You can look there, too, if you want.
What's the marshal doing here?
He was about to tell me.
And then he can tell me, too.
I came here to tell all of you, but I want to ask you something first.
What?
Do any of you have bills of sale from the railroad for this land you're on?
No. No, not yet, Marshal. Trumbull just gave us a receipt and said the railroad would send us a bill of sale.
Uh-huh. But you've already paid.
Sure. Each man gave Trumbull $400 for a half section.
And $25 on top of that for his services.
That's right. What are you asking for, Marshal?
I understand these sections lie right next to each other. Huh?
They do for a fact. What's wrong with that?
Well, I guess you don't know it, but when the government granted land to the railroad, it only granted alternate sections, every other one. So the railroad couldn't sell sections lying right next to each other, could it?
No. No, it couldn't.
Yeah. Maybe that's why Trumbull hasn't given you any bills of sale. There aren't any.
Why, he robbed us.
Where is he now?
I don't know. I ain't seen him since last night.
Well, I think we better start looking for him.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, what is it, Keppard?
I got something to say. It's mostly to Calhoun.
Oh, you two can settle your problems later.
No, Marshal, we got to settle them right now. You'll see why. Now, listen to me, Calhoun. I ain't a man for much talking here, especially about women. But the way things are, I got to say it.
Say what?
Your wife, Sidney. I never went near her. Never once.
Now, that's a lie.
No. No, it's the truth. I ain't tell you this, Calhoun, but it was her that come after me.
What?
I told her not to. I told her to stay away. I even said I'd show her up what she is if I had to, but I didn't do it. Not till now, I didn't.
What are you saying?
When did you see her last, Calhoun?
At noon, when I come in for my dinner.
Yeah. I saw her about 2:00.
Where?
I was downriver about a mile, sitting quiet in a clump of elder, taking a little rest. Your wife rode by on the other bank. She was headed in the direction of Dodge. She was with a man.
With a man? What man?
Trumbull.
Chesterfield.
Yes, put a smile in your smoking. It's as easy as ABC. Because Chesterfields made with Accuray are A, always milder. B, better tasting. C, cooler smoking. Yes, a Chesterfield is always milder.
Accuray controls your Chesterfield in the making. Gives it a more even distribution of fine tobaccos that burn more evenly, smoke much milder.
A Chesterfield is better tasting.
An Accuray Chesterfield draws more easily, lets you enjoy all the flavor.
And a Chesterfield is cooler smoking.
14% more perfectly packed than cigarettes made without Accuray. You enjoy cooler smoking. No hot spots. No hard draw.
So always buy Chesterfield.
Put a smile in your smoking, just give them a try. Light up a Chesterfield. They satisfy.
Train's still there, Mr. Dillon. Way past midnight, it ought to be leaving in a minute.
Now run up and tell the engineer to hold it, will you, Chester?
All right.
Marshal.
Yeah?
Look, coming out of the depot. It's Trumbull and my wife.
Yeah, they don't see us. They ain't even looking this way.
You let me take him, Marshal?
No.
He's rightfully mine.
No, Calhoun. You might get excited and shoot him before he draws. I'll handle this. Now, you two, stay back out of the way. Hey, Trumbull.
Marshal.
Evening, ma'am.
What do you want, Marshal?
I want to talk to you.
Don't have time. That train's about to leave.
It's not going to leave. Anyway, you're not taking it.
Oh. You're interfering because of Sydney here. Well, she's gone with me, Marshal, and that's no business of yours.
I'm arresting you for robbery, Trumbull.
What?
Give me your gun.
No.
I said give it to me.
Get out of the way, Sidney.
You killed him. You killed him. Jim!
Is he dead, Marshal?
Yeah. Keppard, see if he's got the money on him, huh?
I sure will, Marshal.
I didn't mean nothing, Jim. He made me go with him. It wasn't my fault. You believe me, don't you, Jim?
I don't even want to talk to you.
But it's true.
I found it. Here it is, Marshal.
Yeah.
It should be over $4,000 there.
Good. We'll count it later and give it back to everybody.
Marshal.
Yeah, what, Calhoun?
I'd like mine now.
Well, all right. Here. $425.
Thanks. Sidney, take this money.
Look for
it. Take it.
But why?
That's all the money I got in the world. I don't figure I owe you nothing now.
What are you saying, Jim?
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, sure. I know. So long, Jim.
Goodbye.
Calhoun.
What, Kevin?
I got some money coming back. I'll lend you half of it.
After all I've done to you?
Well, can't blame you much for that.
I've been a fool, Keppert. You was right.
Yeah, that's over and done.
But I can't take your money. That wouldn't be right now, would it, Marshal?
Ah, you can decide about that tomorrow, Calhoun. We'll ride out and bring those other people back into Dodge.
What for?
So they can file for government land at the land office here. Free land.
You'd have done that in the first place.
You know, I know of a fine section north of here that I'd kind of like to file on myself.
Why don't you?
Well, one man couldn't handle it. It'd take two men to prove it up, you know. Two good men. I might show it to you sometime if you're interested.
moment our star, William Conrad. Remember, friends, this Christmas, give everyone Chesterfields. Chesterfields are easy to give because they come ready to give in a bright red special holiday carton that's wrapped in its own colorful Christmas ribbon. Everyone enjoys Chesterfield's smoother, cooler smoking pleasure. So to all your friends, this year say Merry Christmas with cartons of Chesterfields. No wrapping, no tying. They're easy to give because they come ready to give. Chesterfields in the bright red special holiday carton.
You know, there are a lot of ways for a man to die on the frontier. But on our next Gunsmoke, a man dies the worst way of all. Needlessly. But that was the West. Good night.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom...
About to leave.
It's not going to leave. Anyway, you're not taking it.
Oh. You're interfering because of Sydney here.
Well, she's going... ...is Doc and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Make Christmas their red-letter day, their L&M red-letter day. Give them the Christmas carton, full of America's best. Yes, give L&M's on Christmas Day to friends who smoke the Builder way. L&M's got everything to give for Christmas Day. This is it. For Christmas, L&M filters and the handsome Christmas carton. No fuss with ribbons of paper. It's all wrapped and ready to give. This Christmas, give L&M Christmas cartons. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke.